This is a News Laundry podcast, and you're listening to the Awful and Awesome Entertainment Rep.
Hello, hello. This is Dipanjana Pal and
Rajeshri Sen.
And we're back with the Awful and Awesome Entertainment Rep. This week, we've got so much to talk about. Superstar Rajni's new film has broken all records, as usual. Nasiruddin Shah took on Rajesh Khanna and it was a fight to the finish, with one of them already finished, as it were. The internet was buzzing with new shows and advertisements. Comic-Con happened in America, which means we've got a treasure trove of new trailers with fantastic beasts and heroes and one amazing woman. So we'll get cracking, but before we go on to this episode, I'd like to thank everyone who wrote in last week. The correct answer to last week's question was Indrani Rehman. Indrani Rehman, who was a Bharatanatyam, Kuchipudi, Kathakali and Odissi dancer. She made her debut, stage debut at 5, won the Padma Shri in 1969, is actually responsible for Kuchipudi being revived and coming out of the village traditions in Andhra Pradesh and into the mainstream stages of Delhi, for instance. She was also married to Habib Rehman in what was a fabulously sweet love story, but I will get into that another day because we have limited time. And the photographer that I had spoken of, the hint that I'm not sure whether it helped or harmed, but people's chances, the photographer is Ram Rehman. You should look up his work. And with that, let us get into this week.
Finally, there was an ad campaign which was quite impressive. The Rio Olympics are around the corner. And Tata Salt, which has a very nice campaign anyway going, Desh Ka Namak, they have started a new campaign called Namak Ke Vaste, which features a whole bunch of real athletes who are going to be representing India.
Right now, three of them.
Three of them. And they are going to be representing, these athletes are part of the Indian contingent. And the ad campaign is created by Ogilvy One. And it's very nicely done because they are very short ads. They are 1 minute. So each, there are three athletes with two ads each for each one.
And the athletes are Shiva Thapa, who's a boxer. Who's wrestler Babita Fogart and shot putter Inderjeet Singh, which is tragic.
Yeah,
but we'll get to that.
Okay, so the reason why I like the ads was because they are, one, extremely well made. There's no drama in them. There are two versions, one where the athlete is just sitting in front of the camera and there's a voiceover telling us their story, and there's another one where they speak to the camera. And it's a great way of making people recognize the athletes who are going to the Olympics, because we basically recognize a handful, at least I'm talking about myself and a lot of people I know, we recognize a handful of athletes, which is Sushil Kumar, Vijender Singh and all, but
I think it's really improved significantly in the last few years. There was a time when, aside from a cricketer, there was no other sportsman whose face you saw or recognized.
So now we at least see wrestlers and boxers and so on, but it's still a very small number. And it's very well made, these ads. They're very slick and you do feel a sense of pride.
So I thought it was very well made. Technically, it's a very nice set of
But you
promos.
Had a reservation about...
I have many reservations. I'm Bengali. I'm full of reservations. Okay, so two things. One is that I do feel a little bad for Tata Salt, given the news that we have just received while just before we went into recording. News came out that Inderjeet Singh has actually tested positive in the doping test. So there are two samples that one has to give in a doping test. His first sample has tested positive for banned substance. He's been asked if he wants to send a second sample within 7 days. If he is found to be positive in the second sample as well, not only can he not go, he will be banned for something like 7 years. So this
is
a very...
That's
the end of his career. And particularly if you see his ad, then you feel really bad that this may well be his fate.
So his ad, we'll just play a little bit of it right now.
पहचाने नहीं शायद मैं इंद्रजीत सिंह नाम में ही जीत है भिवानी में फ्लड लाइट्स तो मिलती नहीं पर गाड़ियों की लाइट से ही प्रैक्टिस कर लेता था
but your reservation is
my
about
other, yeah. So then I have Fogart. One problem with the Babita Fogart,
who is a
she's a wrestler.
Yeah.
Not only is she a wrestler, she's a champion wrestler. She's won at the Commonwealth, and generally, women and wrestling is not something that we associate. Though perhaps that has changed because of Sultan.
Anushka Sharma.
Yeah, anyway, I don't think that's actually changed. But so Babita Fogart is a wrestler. What I had a problem with is that her entire ad is about her father and how her father trained her and her sister to be champions by fighting against men and winning against them. Now, I completely... Look, maybe that's the story she wants to tell. And that's fine. I'm not one to tell her what story she should be telling. However, I find it really strange that there are three athletes. One is a male boxer, one is a male shot putter, and there's a female wrestler. And the only person who is going on and on about their coach, who happens to be a man, is the woman wrestler, the woman athlete. It's as though a woman's story in sport has to be about the man behind her.
So here's where I disagree with you. She's from Haryana. And I think the story is I don't know how many people know that the female to male ratio in Haryana is abysmal. Women are not encouraged to, like, wrestling across the country. I won't even say it's Haryana specific. Women are not encouraged to go out and wrestle with anyone. Let's put it that way. So I think the story is, it is a strong story that a Haryanvi man did not tell his daughters that it's time to get married.
No,
put them into the wrestling arena and has encouraged them. So I think that is part of the story, which
more power
should not
to,
be.
More power to Mahavir Fogart for having supported his daughters. I don't want to take any credit away from him. My only point is this is a story of her success. And it should be possible to see an athlete on her own terms, especially in a setup where women are so immensely oppressed. Just as it is important, I think, to put the message across that men can support women, equally it is important to put the message across that she's fighting on her own as well.
No, so I think what could have been mentioned is that her sister is Geeta Fogart, who has won. She's India's first gold medalist in wrestling at the Commonwealth Games, and that is not mentioned. I do, though, feel that it's a one-minute bit, and then, of course, there's a two-minute ad, so there's a paucity of time.
There is a paucity, particularly when there's a paucity of time, there's certain things that one prioritizes. And yeah, there has been a conscious choice, I feel,
by
to prioritize
agency,
her,
though,
by possibly the ad agency,
yeah,
to show her as a father's daughter. Now, again, her father has done a great thing by supporting her. Many fathers don't.
And also, like in Haryana, done a great thing by letting her live.
Live. Like,
so
his
that
first
in itself,
act of heroism,
yeah,
is not having killed her.
Yeah. And then not having...
That said,
yeah,
what is the story that we are choosing to prioritize? And by we, I mean a larger society,
yeah,
that would like to see a woman wrestler / athlete. She should be able to stand on her own. That's my only thing.
Yeah. But it's a great ad campaign. I just feel a little sorry for them about this Inderjeet Singh.
And also,
bit.
It's a bit weird, right? Because the hashtag that's going with it is Namak Ke Vaste, which suggests that it's almost like an exchange relationship, you know? Like, we have a saying in Hindi about Namak Khana and
no, so they
all
do
of that.
Say Desh Ka Namak, and we feel proud when we...
But... All three of them are talking, well, not Babita Fogart as much, but Inderjeet Singh in particular, and also Shiva Thapa, they talk about how hard it is, how they've actually got nothing,
yeah,
by way of support from this Desh whose Namak is hashtagging right now.
No, so hopefully I think this campaign will make a difference, but it's still, the Singh part is a bit of a... canker for them.
It is so terribly unfortunate. And
yeah,
if it is true, then that's very sad. And if it isn't true, I hope he's able to clear
but
it.
Someone who has never had a slur against his name is Rajnikant sir.
Cue in Nerappada.
Yeah. And we are therefore going to talk about
Kabali. Okay. Have you seen Kabali?
No, so while I really appreciate Rajnikant...
What kind of a human being are you?
No, but I'll tell you why I really appreciate him after you discuss the film. But I cannot bring myself to watch any Rajnikant film because it is the most ludicrous suspension of disbelief.
How many have you watched?
I have seen Hum when he acted...
That is just
when we
pathetic.
Were like 10 years old. And but after that, I have seen Shivaji the Boss.
Not his best.
I saw 10 minutes of it. And I saw Robo, where Aishwarya Rai Endiran. Has this strange... We'll put a clip of that song where it's the most fabulous acting on display by Aishwarya Rai also.
So Kabali, which... I am just appalled that you have these sweeping statements to make about Rajnikant on the basis of 10 minutes of Shivaji the Boss and Hum. Just sad. Horrible. But anyway, those who are a little more familiar with Rajnikant yes. will possibly appreciate the fact that Kabali is an extremely un-Rajnikant film. Okay? There are reasons for this. To begin with, the thing is set in Malaysia.
Yum. I've read
There's
up.
There's no reason to sound so impressed. By which I mean she was not sounding impressed at all. No, Kabali is set in Malaysia. Rajnikant, Radhika Apte, and essentially everyone in the film is a Malaysian Tamil. And there's a fair amount of effort that has been made to get that community's nuances right.
Okay.
So there are certain religious rituals and stuff that are shown.
So it's like art cinema.
I was just not aware of how many public spaces Malaysian Tamils like to put sofas in. It's just amazing. Shipbreaking yard, cane sofa. Random outside spot, regular sofa.
Because maybe no
parking
one wants to
lot,
stand.
Sofa. No, because the standard Rajnikant pose is of him sitting back with his arm outstretched in this sort of regal position. And how do you do that without a sofa? Anyway, barring that thing, it's not a good film, right? And in neither
Unlike
is it.
Unlike all his other films.
Here's the thing: whether or not you like his films, the fact of the matter is that they are usually incredibly entertaining. They manage to pack in all sorts of ludicrous things. And of course, Rajnikant is very famous for that, right? The cigarette that flips and the coin and things like that. Details like that and the dialogues, let's not forget. Rajnikant's Tamil dialogues are legendary. Like anyone who has grown up in Chennai or Madras, as it was known then, will be able to, you know, give you dialogues from Basha, for example. And it's incredibly funny when you hear them also. The joy of the dialogues was partially lost to me when I watched it because I watched it in Tamil without subtitles, which is my contribution to the world for good karma and all that. But that said, I checked with my fluent Tamil-speaking crew, 20 of them, no less. Thank you, people. And they were also saying that it didn't have the same pungency that his dialogues usually have. They did have, however, nuances, right? Pa Ranjit, who's the director of the film, is well known
His name is?
Pa Ranjit.
Like it's one word?
No, two words.
Okay.
I'm sure PA is short for something.
Okay. I thought it's
But I'm
like
not
a,
sure what it is short for.
I thought
for.
It's like Puff Daddy kind of thing.
We're locking eyes with each other in case you're wondering why they're silent. So yes, Paranjit is one of the younger talents of the Tamil film industry right now. He is known for infusing a Dalit subtext to a lot of his films. This film has a lot of that happening as well. Like for instance, there's one of the first scenes where you see Rajnikant. He's reading a book called My Father Balayya, which is about a Telugu Dalit narrative.
Oh, that's quite impressive that they've woven it in like that.
Yeah, the problem is that it's not done often or well enough. But it's there. Like, there's this other scene, again, early on in the film, where Rajnikant is going through a pet shop, because, you know, that's how gangsters roll.
Yeah.
And he's going through these cages that have birds in them. And he says that he wants to free the birds, and the guy who's walking with him says that, you know, they've been caged for so long, they're not going to survive outside.
Which is correct.
At which point there's a superb zingy little line, which I wish I could recite in Tamil, but I cannot. Where Rajinikanth says, better basically to die free than live encaged. Now, you as a pet lover are obviously having issues with this.
I just want to say, anyone listening to this, please do not follow what Rajinikanth is saying.
Or
if you have a bird which has been caged, do not release it into the wild.
Indeed.
It will die.
But it is not supposed to be a literal message to those who own birds. It is a comment on the position of Dalits who have been oppressed and been in chains, and therefore one of the arguments that is put out there is that, you know, they are not capable of functioning as they are supposed to, in which is one of the weirdest arguments I've ever heard. But regardless, and, you know, this is the sort of thing that he weaves into the film. The whole idea of being an estate laborer and the fights that the Indian community had to go through against the Chinese in Malaysia in particular. There's little stuff like that which is really quite interesting. No, there's a lot of history, and not the kind of thing that you expect, but the point at which it really is very un-Rajinikanth is that there is not one good character in the film except for Radhika Aptes, who, by the way, wears the most gorgeous saris in that film. I lusted after the saris.
So she is playing
his
wife?
They are so good that our producer Karthik Nijhawan is also nodding his head. And he's a big Punjabi man. And he's appreciating them saris.
So
Radhika Apte is playing Rajinikanth's wife. And the good part about the film is that she does not do the usual crazy makeup to age her when she comes into the narrative 25 years on. She does change her body language and stuff. And I quite liked the fact that she didn't go for prosthetics and heavy powdered gray hair and things like that. The only problem is that it is really creepy seeing the two of them together, by which I mean Rajinikanth and Radhika
Apte. Because
she's
30 years old and looks younger. And he's 65. And
you know, there was a time when this was perfectly normal. There was nothing wrong with this age gap. And if you're in love with each other, boss, that's fine too. If you're 30, not of course if you're 30 and the other person is 12, that's not cool. But it's just visually, it's a little odd. But regardless of visually how they are, her sari's amazing. And Rajini has played kind of grey shaded characters in his career. This is not the first time. But this is the first time where I was given by the film a morality that, if you go by the token that Rajini is the good guy, which you shouldn't because there isn't any good guy, but Rajini is the hero.
Yeah.
Drugs and narcotic smuggling and distribution is worse than murdering somebody. That's what I was given in the film.
So I just want to say that while I don't watch Rajinikanth films, what I find impressive about him is because he is truly a superstar. And you watched the film in Delhi, right? Were people screaming in the hall? No.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so I just find the madness, like people were queuing up at 3 a.m. to watch the morning show, which is like Comic-Con pretty much. And what is fabulous about him is he has never done an ad. He's never endorsed a brand. And it's just, he focuses on his films. He's quite ordinary. He drives himself to work, which I find stunning also, because in even the most junior most actor, when they get a role, they ask, ki gaadi aap bhej dijiye.
No, there is a reason he's continued to be a legend in the minds of common people.
Yeah, so I think that is impressive about him. And everyone should go and watch Kapali.
She said, while saying that murder is better. Also, by the way, it had a packed house in Paris.
That's what.
Imagine.
It's just very impressive. So on to another screen legend who, of course, can act really well and is diametrically opposite to Rajinikanth, and that is Nasiruddin Shah. So over the last few days, his new short film was released, which is called Interior Cafe. It's a 12-minute film, and Adhiraj Bose has directed it. It stars just four people. It's set in one little cafe, which is in Calcutta, and stars Shehnaz Patel. And Shehnaz Patel and Nasiruddin have a younger version of themselves, which is Shweta Basu Prasad and this chap called Naveen Kasturia, who you'd have seen in a lot of ads.
Yeah, if you see the film, you'll recognize his face.
Him instantly. It's a very, very sweet film. It's about two people who used to be in love earlier and they break up. And
this is the point where I come in as the black hole of fun and say, I found it so tiresome.
So I'm very romantic, so maybe I liked it, but I just thought that what was lovely is when Nasir comes on screen, he doesn't have to say a word and he just commands your attention, and he sits down, and for the first 2-3 minutes he actually doesn't say anything. He's just walking around and he spots Shehnaz Patel and he sits down, and he's such a good actor. And it just comes through totally. And even Shehnaz Patel is a brilliant actress. That girl is very good as well. Shweta Basu Prasad, who was in the news for...
She was excellent. Yeah. She really... Actually, I agree with you in the fact that Nasiruddin Shah, Shehnaz Patel, Shweta Basu Prasad, even Naveen Kasturia...
I think he just got overshadowed by the others.
I don't think he could match up to these three. Certainly, trying to be a younger Nasir is a mammoth task.
And so, there's very little dialogue. So it's a lot of emoting.
Well, I mean, it's acting, which he's supposed to be able to do, to be fair, given that's his profession. But no, it's well acted.
Yeah.
I just found it a maudlin. Because this whole thing of 30 years later, they met by chance. Their eyes met across the room. The by chance was ridiculous, one. Yeah. The second thing was that it was so fluffily in a realm of imagination. Like 30 years ago, you wouldn't have an exposed brick cafe like that. You certainly could not have kissed in public and then
Calcutta was very progressive.
Shrees, just stop it. Nice try, but no cookie.
No, but I think you should watch it. It's nice to see Nasiruddin and other actors do these short films.
It's always good to see Nasiruddin Shah. I mean, I think for actors in particular, I'm sure there's lots they can pick up from it.
Yeah.
But from a writing perspective,
it wasn't the best scripted film, but I also think, which is what I was saying, that it's nice to see actors not just limit themselves to, like, we'll do films for screen. There are lots of indie films being made, and at least our actors are trying something different, although Nasiruddin has tried many things
different, as we know from having seen films like Jalwa and Hero Hiralal.
Which is the one where Trimurti.
Oh.
That was a sellout.
Good old days. Hey, he got a flat in Bandra out of those films, so really. But he also ended up to be in the news not for Interiors Cafe.
No, he was
being interviewed for Interiors Cafe when he dropped what bombshell?
He basically said that the standard of films dipped during Rajesh Khanna's time in the 70s. And he said that, I feel that Rajesh Khanna commanded Bollywood at the Hindi film industry at that point. And he was not a very bright man. And he was not particularly... Like, the level of acting that was on display was of a very low quality.
This was slightly ironic given... He also said that the quality of scripts deteriorated because that's what Rajesh Khanna picked. Little bit ironic for him to be saying that given the script of Interiors Cafe, which in the world of web films, which can be quite provocative and not tamed down by box office concerns, didn't really do anything of the sort. So he picked a thoroughly moderate and mediocre script and then trashed Rajesh Khanna for it.
But I don't think he trashed Rajesh Khanna. I felt he was asked to comment on Hindi films and how he'd seen it evolve. And he made a comment about a time in the film industry where Rajesh Khanna was ruling the roost. Every film was given to Rajesh
Absolutely.
Khanna.
Now, if you're on Twitter, you probably know that Karan Johar and Twinkle Khanna took grievous offense
to
this.
And they're best friends, BFFs, which they keep
saying. They are, but I mean, one could possibly disagree. agree with one's BFF, or is that not
allowed? No, not in Bollywood.
Okay, sorry. You don't know that. But anyway, the point is that the two of them were very upset and they said...
Twinkle wrote, Sir, if you can't respect the living, respect the dead. Mediocrity is attacking a man who can't respond. To which Karan Johar then tweeted, I agree with you, Mrs. Funny Bones, which is what Twinkle's Twitter handle is. Due respect to seniority, but this was an exceptionally bad taste and not becoming of a fraternity member. He should have used and not but, so it's a little contradictory what he said. Now, the point of the matter is that Twinkle Khanna, first of all, writes a column in Times of India which critiques and satires and parodies the government, people. She is the eye on culture and everything that is going wrong in our society. So that someone like her is so sensitive when it comes to criticism with anything to do with her family, it's a little ironic. But more ironic than that is the fact that just because someone's died, you can't critique them. So by that logic, we will not have comparative literature. We will not have film critique. We can't criticize who? We can't criticize Laurence Olivier, Richard Burton, anyone. They are dead and therefore cannot defend themselves.
First of all, especially when you're a performer, in contrast to, say, a bureaucrat, a politician, or even a writer in many cases, you can actually defend yourself from the grave because there is the body of your work that continues to live. And if anyone has seen Rajesh Khanna's films, then they will know that while he did some really lovely performances, Anand being one that comes to mind immediately, he also did a fair amount of rubbish. Yeah. Now, this is true of every actor, particularly in Bollywood. Not everyone has always been able to do amazing stuff. But all Nasiruddin Shah said, and I quote, I think Mr. Khanna was a very limited actor. In fact, he was a poor actor. Intellectually, he wasn't the most alert person I have ever met. Now, there are people who will perhaps argue that Rajesh Khanna was the most alert person they ever met. Now, somebody else may feel that he was not. However, this is his personal experience.
Yeah.
How do you comment on his personal experience?
Also, Nasir has then, because everyone got so upset, he has actually made a statement saying that I apologize to those who were personally offended and my intention was not to attack him. Now, I just want to point out...
And he added, I was talking about a phenomenon.
Yeah. And now, Rajesh Khanna was a phenomena. And if you have not seen this documentary, I would strongly recommend that you watch it. It's BBC's documentary. It was made in 1974. It is called Bombay Superstar. It is available on YouTube. And it was made by Jack Pizzi, who interviewed Rajesh Khanna. And it started with Jack Pizzi getting an interview time from Rajesh Khanna, and Rajesh Khanna basically never used to show up. So part of the documentary is just this chap sitting in Rajesh Khanna's house waiting.
My personal favorite moment from the documentary is when Rajesh Khanna shows the look that drove the letters crazy.
So you have to watch this. And he, Gautam Chintamani then wrote a book called Dark Star, where he also talks about Khanna's behavior and basically his love for himself. So the point is that this is a superstar. He did have his kinks. He did not have the most perfect stream of films. And it's okay to criticize.
This lack of criticism is the most damaging thing that you can do to culture.
Yeah. So there are no holy cows. And it's odd that Twinkle Khanna, who has been an actress of repute, if you want.
Repute?
No,
actress.
So Mela. Y'all must also watch the film Mela.
You're evidently using these words loosely. I'm going to shut you down now.
No.
I think for me, the favorite thing on the internet this week was sex chat with Papa and Papu.
Which is adorable.
Partly because Papu is so cute. Papa is also cute, played by Anand Tiwari. And Papa's Papa, and this I think is a coup, is Sachin. Sachin the actor. Sachin the actor who basically played a pre-adolescent creature for his entire career. Yeah. Did not ever, I think, play anyone who could have had a hormonal surge or actually was constantly in hormonal surges. Anyway, depends on how you see adolescence.
So the video is about?
The video is literally what it says. There is a little boy called Pappu who comes up to his papa and says, what is masturbation? And Papa has a small heart attack.
Yeah.
He imagines his Papa, who happens to be Sachin, saying that, shut this conversation down right now. It can only lead to ruination, damn it. But of course, he persists because he wants to be a friend. Papa yeah. wants to be a friend to his son. And it's very well acted, not
very
surprising.
Very well scripted also.
Yeah, very well scripted, very well acted. And generally, I think it's one of those flashpoints that we don't talk about enough, which yeah. is that there is going to be a moment when, as a parent, you probably should have this conversation with your kid. And did you ever have a birds and bees conversation with your mom or dad? No.
We didn't, but we knew enough. But what I liked about this was it's produced by Durex.
Yes.
And Y Film. So this is like a branding genius.
Yeah.
Because Durex Condoms is doing this and they've decided that they are going to do a string of subjects. So it's going to be masturbation, there's homosexuality, there's pregnancy, condoms, periods. And it's all going to be done with Papa and Papu.
And I'm really looking forward to it given how they broke down what masturbation
yeah.
is. And I'm not actually going to give it away because
yeah.
it's quite smartly done. I'm happy to report that, you know, they make it quite clear that masturbation is something women and men
yeah,
both
exactly.
do with fabulous connotations for the family itself. That, you know, when you're
all analogies, examples are related to the family.
To the immediate family. So it never becomes this distant thing. Also, I love the fact that Pappu's cricket jumpers jersey thing says Vatsa on the back. So he's going to grow up to be Dr. Mahinder
yeah.
Vatsa. No wonder.
It's
best sex column
yeah.
around.
So it's a very, very nice series that has started. At least they've started very well.
They've started very well and we will keep an eye out to
yeah.
see what they go on to do. But this is gold.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're coming close to the end of this week's show, but we cannot end without talking about Wonder Woman.
Yes. So at the moment, the San Diego Comic-Con is happening, and Comic-Con always has a whole bunch of trailers which get released, as the Panjadan mentioned. So the new Wonder Woman trailer is out. This is Wonder Woman is a DC Comics superhero. And why this is a big deal is because we don't see any superhero films which star the main character is a female superhero. And it's directed by Patty Jenkins.
We've seen them. They've mostly been either disturbing, like Kick-Ass, which has a 14-year-old girl. And it's a really complicated one, that one.
Yeah.
I'm personally not a fan. There was Catwoman, which was a disaster.
Yeah,
so,
but it's very rarely.
It's hard.
And Wonder Woman's very, like, everyone knows Wonder Woman. So it stars Gal Gadot. And the director is Patty Jenkins. And it's just, you must watch the trailer because it is just fabulous. It's all about woman power. And there's a lovely line that she has about, she meets her lover in the film. Chris Pine plays her lover. And she meets his secretary, and she asks the secretary, what do you do? What is a secretary? So that woman tells her that, oh, I go where he tells me to go and I do what he tells me to do. So she says, so Wonder Woman says, oh, that's what I call slavery.
I'm Steve Trevor's secretary.
What is a secretary?
I go where he tells me to go and I do what he tells me to do.
Yeah, well, where I'm from, that's called slavery.
Where I come from,
yeah.
that's more slavery than
yeah.
secretary. Something
so,
like that. It's a
so
great line.
Just watch the trailer. It's fabulous.
So what is well worth keeping in mind is that Wonder Woman was a 1941 creation. She was cooked up, as it were, by a psychologist and inventor, the guy who came up with the systolic blood pressure test, actually. He's the one who invented Wonder Woman. Wonder Woman was based on his wife and his live-in lover. She looked like his live-in lover and was inspired by his wife. And because that was, he was one of the, in the 1940s, he was one of those proponents that women need to be given more space, etc. But I just want to read one little bit. When he was asked about why he wrote The Wonder Woman, he said, "Not even girls want to be girls so long as our feminine archetype lacks force, strength, and power. So far, that sounds great, right?" And then, "Not wanting to be girls, they don't want to be tender, submissive, peace-loving, as good women are." That's it. We're not good women. Over. So this new Wonder Woman is really an updated version of what the original one was. Yeah. One of the reasons why these Marvel Comics heroines and superheroines...
This is DC.
Sorry, DC and Marvel, but in this case, DC... the comic book heroines have been difficult to bring to screen because especially the ones that were written in the 1940s and 50s are incredibly sexist in their representation. Yeah. They wear these revealing outfits, they're buxom and impossible, you know, proportions.
But in...
give or take one punch or two, you know. To realize that today, how do you have a Wonder Woman who will not dress the same way, for instance? And what this film seems to have done is kept all of that sex appeal.
Yeah.
And then added some, you know, finesse to it, as it were.
And also, it's not based in today's world. It's in, it's during World War One, so she's fighting for global...
I think it's World War Two. Is it World War II?
World War
I. It's probably, anyway, whichever one it is.
Global peace. So it's nice.
And
it's...
it connects to the last film that we had seen of DC's, which was Batman versus Superman. Yeah. She was the best thing in that film, by the way. But there was a little reference through one photograph to this film in Batman versus Superman. Yes.
So anyway, do watch the trailer. It's really good.
And there were two other trailers that caught my eye. I mean, Comic-Con is just, it leads to so much joy. One of them is Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them.
Which is lovely.
Which looks delicious. It is a new film from the Harry Potter world, but not with Harry Potter. It is written by J.K. Rowling, which in itself is cause for hope. And for those who know the world of Harry Potter, one of Harry Potter's texts was titled Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them. And it was written by Newt Scamander, worst name ever for a hero. But anyway, so Newt Scamander's Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them has been, it was written as a textbook, and then it was released for comic relief a few years ago. Now, springboarding on that, she's got the story of Newt, who's been around the world, and he comes to New York in the 1920s, and he's got, well, a suitcase full of monsters.
Yesterday, a wizard entered New York with a case. A case full of magical creatures.
So the film stars Eddie Redmayne.
It's and Colin Farrell.
Got Colin Farrell as well. Both of them, I think, are on the same side. It's directed by David Yates, who has done a decent job in his previous Harry Potter escapades, as it were. I'm looking forward to the film. It looks great. The CGI looks fantastic. I think vintage New York will be wonderful. I just wish it wasn't Eddie Redmayne playing Newt Scamander.
These prejudices. But the film which I saw the trailer of, thanks to you, which confused me slightly, is Sherlock Holmes.
Well, it's not a film. It's series 4 that they're promoting. I thought it was awful, but yes, why don't
it's
you...
It's sort of like... so it again stars Benedict Cumberbatch. And it seemed to be like they've got confused whether they are making Sherlock Holmes or they are making James Bond. Because it's all very high-tech and...
There's explosions, and, there's running around.
And
like,
there's a woman who seems to be M. It's all bizarre, but watch it. I don't... Maybe you like it.
You know, the whole point of Sherlock Holmes was a hero who was intellectual.
Yeah.
Right? I don't understand this action hero-izing of Sherlock. Then he's like any other guy.
The only good thing is Moriarty is back.
We hope. He was lovely. Okay, so don't watch Sherlock Holmes because there are better things to do with your time. It's time now for our question because we are really, we really have to wrap up now. So thank you again for everyone who's been writing in. There's been a lot more of answers coming in than I had anticipated, which is why we've kind of decided to shuffle the rules a little bit. If you can send 5 correct answers to us, then I promise you, you are going to get a gift that you will totally enjoy. And if you don't get 5 right, then you just get love and best wishes from us and an invitation to keep writing in. So this week's question is about Wonder Woman. Since both Rajashree and I actually agree on this one. She's awesome. Anyway, so in the trailer, you will have heard that Wonder Woman is breathed into life by Zeus. Now, my question is that really how Wonder Woman was born? By which I mean, in the comics, how is Wonder Woman born? Is she breathed into life by Zeus, or is there something else that happens? Send in your answers to contact@newslaundry.com, and that basically means that it is time for the last bit of this show, which is to tell you that subscribe for the love of all that is wondrous and womanly and other things. Subscribe to News Laundry, support independent media, because when corporations pay, corporations are served, and when the public pays, the public is served. This podcast is produced by Kartik Nijhawan and recorded by Anil Kumar, and we will be back next week. So until then, thank you, Ms. Sen.
Thank you, Ms. Pal.
It's a wrap.
Catch all new episodes of the Awful and Awesome Entertainment Wrap on newslaundry.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter.